Well, glory to God. Man. Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to Matthew chapter 16. Who's got a set of keys on you? Look at that big old honker set of keys. Wow. You need that like on a belt with one of those chains you can whip out. Yeah, the keys to the kingdom, all right, yeah. Wow. That's crazy. I wasn't expecting quite that many. You know, I love when, you know, when you're looking, you can always find God moving. You know what I mean? But, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in everything going on that we, you know, we get busy and whatever, we miss God and all the things He's doing. I'll tell you a funny one as we get started here, kind of fits right in with what I'm preaching. Finally got the book, Praying the Word book that I'm doing to the publisher to get printed. And it's just been like pulling teeth just to get this book done. I don't know why. Just, you know, you'd get ready to do it and then we'd find a mistake and we'd change it and then we'd go find something else and we'd change it and back and forth and just like this. Ah! And so I just get mad, you know, and I just say, just send it. I don't care if it's all wrong. Just send this stupid thing. I just want to print it. And so that's about where I was at. And so we sent it and told them, do it, just do it. And so they sent it back and said, yeah, you forgot to put your picture on the back of the, there was a place on the book cover for my picture. And I'm like, oh, just tell them to put something over it. Just don't, just put a spot over it and just tell them just print the thing. I'm just tired of messing with it. And so they said, no, you got to have a picture. So anyway, we went through this whole big deal about getting a picture. So I'm just like, Lord, why? How could this thing, why is something that I really believe it's going to be something that's going to bless people. Why is it so hard? It's just ridiculous. I mean, can't you, you know, just pitch me a bone over here, Lord, and let's get this thing done. I mean, this is ridiculous. And so we just got it back. We had to send it back to the graphic artist that did it, and they got it, and then she sent it back, and she did it. And Laura says, Robert, you're not going to believe this. On the front cover, it says, combining the Word of God and prayer for victorious living, and combining was spelled wrong. It actually said combing, C-O-M-B-I-N-G, combing the Word of God. I'm like, oh God, thank God I did not print 1,500 copies of a book that said combing the Word of God. And I just had to just laugh. I was like, Lord, no wonder this thing can't get done. It's wrong. I mean, this is the front cover. Is absolutely wrong. What a typo to miss. And we have had that thing in our hands for 7 or 8 months, and no one saw it. To just a minute ago, my wife caught it, and I just started laughing. I was like, well, I guess we could have got it done 7 or 8 months earlier if we'd have all seen the giant typo on the front page. It was the first word, yeah. So it's praying the Word, and it was the first word underneath there, and it was spelled wrong. I'm like, well, Jesus, thank you. You know, so things like that, sometimes, you know, we're praying and we just can't see what's going on. You know, we just can't, we're expecting that God should have done this and we can't see what's going on when there's something right in front of your face that really needed to be changed, but you just didn't see it. You know, so in praying, which takes me to the message tonight, which I'm going to preach on keys, prayer keys. You know, every one of these keys in this ring, I guess it goes somewhere, unless she just gathers random keys and puts them on a ring. Do they all go somewhere? Do you have any idea where all of these keys go? So we do have keys that don't fit everything. All right. Anyway. So, who's got a set of keys that has your car key on it? Anybody got a car key? Wow, Lonnie. That is a car key. With still the dealer deal on it, huh? Okay. Okay, I got one key on a ring, right? But this will start the vehicle out there, right? Right? If you put that thing in the key, and it'll start your truck. It ain't going to start my truck. It won't start anybody else's car in here. We hope not. Right? And you don't ever think about it. You never think about a key. You never get out there and sit in the car and say, oh, God, I hope my key works. You know, not unless your lock is broke or something, right? But, you know, you don't think that. It's an automatic response. You pull out your key because you know that's what it takes to put in the car to make the thing start, right? You don't think about it. It's an automatic response. You just want to get in your car. You want your car to take you somewhere. You don't even have a mental thought of, God, I hope the key works. Right? You just pull it out. You just put it in. You just turn on the motor, and it makes the car go where you want it to go, right? Thank you. Right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Well, prayer should be like that. In our prayer life to God, it should be like that. We should never be going to the throne wondering if God's going to answer our prayer. We should never be going into prayer in a position like I hope he's in today. And if those doubts are in you and those concerns are in you, then you're not going to have a lot of success in seeing answers to your prayer. I pray every morning, God, order my steps today. Prepare my path for me. Make every crooked path straight. Lord, order my steps wherever I'm going. Well, that's a pretty big prayer, but I have confidence in it. And I'm trying to get the book done. And there's the book. There's the problem. God orders my steps. Here it comes out. It can't get it done. I didn't see it like that. I didn't understand it. But I'm learning that when things aren't working or aren't going, I don't necessarily need to force it more. It doesn't always need a push. Sometimes it needs to back off and look at the situation and say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me what's going on here. Why is this not working? Why is this not working? What am I doing wrong? Not the truck I have now, but the truck I had before. Somewhere or another, the way the dash was made, and I would get in it at night, and my light didn't work on the inside. I'd get in, and it was dark, and when I would go to put the key into the ignition there on the steering column, sometimes I would miss, and I would stick it, and it would go between these two pieces of plastic, you know? But it felt like it was the key, you know, hole. And then I would try to turn it and whatever. I was like, what's wrong with this thing? And then I had to realize, you know, I had to drag the key out of the thing and I missed it. It felt like it was in the keyhole, but it wasn't. You're with me? Sometimes prayer feels like it's right, like everything you're doing is right, but it's really not right. You know, I just missed it by that far. And you have to pull it out and you have to start over. And so Jesus in Matthew 16 tells Peter, he says, verse 15, he said, and he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Jesus wants you to have the keys. He wants you to understand. But you can have that key ring like my wife just had a while ago with those 46 keys on it. And a whole bunch of them look the same. So if you were going to go up to the door to try to put it in a lock, you'd have to go through multiple keys because they're not marked to find the one that would fit in that key. And it's not going to open the door. No other key is going to open that door, just that one. In Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 10. Paul says, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. It says we have boldness and access and confidence through faith in him. Okay? We're supposed to come to the place where we have keys, that we have boldness to use it. That's what I'm talking about. When you go into the car and you put your key in there, you don't think about it. You have to have boldness just to turn the thing on, make it work. Turn the thing on, start and drive it, right? Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness. Everybody say boldness. Say it again. Say boldness. By the blood of Jesus. What? Therefore, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the key that opens the door to the holiness, or to heaven, or to the throne room, or to where the Father is, or to where the answer is. The blood of Jesus is the key. And understanding the blood of Jesus, and understanding what the blood of Jesus does, and how the blood of Jesus makes us righteous, not by your merits, not by your good works, not by what you do, not by what you say, not by how you live your life, but the blood of Jesus makes you righteous because you have faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith in what Jesus has done for you, that you're washed and cleansed and can stand before him. Hello. See, it says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, having a high priest over the household of God. There's a new way. It's a new key. At the resurrection, Jesus gave us a new key. The key is that he is the Son of God, and that through what he did for us, then made us righteous before him. Therefore, he gave us a key that helps us to walk right in, or opens the door to heaven for us. So when you have that key, the boldness, the blood of Jesus, the understanding of the blood of Jesus, the understanding of your righteousness. Listen to me, folks. For too long, the devil has held us all victims of condemnation. And he holds us hostage in condemnation, to where we can't really pray, we can't do what God wants us to do, because we've got this goofy religious thinking going on in our brains that we can't enter the holiest because we don't believe that the key, if we stick it in the door, it's going to open it. Can you imagine if we found one of y'all walking on the road and said, you know, hey, you just got a problem in your truck? And I said, no, I just got in the truck, but I just really felt that if I put the key in there, it wasn't going to start. He'd say, are you on drugs, you know? Right? He said, well, come on. Somebody would take you over there. So what are you talking about? I don't know. I just felt, I sat in the car and I just felt like it wouldn't start. Well, did you put the key in there? No. I just felt like it wouldn't. So, I mean, you'd take you by the hand, lead you back over there, get you in the car, put you in the car, somebody would have to help you, right? What our job is in life is to help people to understand, listen, you're righteous by the blood of Jesus. You're not righteous by what you do. Not righteous by what your works are. You're righteous by the blood. And either you are or you aren't. Either the New Testament is true or it's not. If we're stuck in the Old Testament, forget it. Right? We're stuck in the Old Testament. Forget it. We're not going to make it. We might as well just go fishing. Sit at the house. Might as well just be kicking back up. Their feet up tonight, eating popcorn. There's no sense being in church trying to learn and grow and get in his presence, right? Because we're not going to make it. We don't even have a place to sacrifice an animal over here. Got a barbecue pit out there, but that's about as close as we can get. Okay. He says, so the first thing Paul says that we got to have is boldness. Now think about what Jesus said. He put it a little differently. Matthew 7:7. He said, ask and it will be given. Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, that is so hard. He made it so difficult for us. You know, you got to win the triathlon of religion before your prayer could be answered. Right? Y'all ever watch that stupid show on television, Wipeout? Where they're trying to go through that course and all these crazy things are happening and things are coming out and they're getting hit. I mean, that's really how we are as Christians. We put ourselves on this course that is impossible to meet and to win. And even in that game, you get so far, then you can at least swim to the next place. You don't have to finish it. But our religious minds put us in a place where we make it so difficult that we can't just ask and it be given. Seek and you shall find. But you know, there's a lot to seeking. Right? If everybody could find diamonds or find gold, I mean, you know, just walk around, just fall on top of your head like acorns out of a tree. Well, you know, it wouldn't be no big deal, but you have to seek it. It's not easy. Ask and it shall be given. Then he says, seek and you shall find, and then knock and the door shall be opened. But by the blood of Jesus, he gave us boldness to do that. Amen? The second thing he said here was access. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. He says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in your flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh, by hands that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death to the enmity. You think about this. If today he says, look, you guys are Gentiles. You're so far away from the covenants and promises of God. You don't understand the ordinances at all. Can you imagine today if one of us were going to have to sacrifice a goat, what we would do with it? Just think about that. If somebody right now, if I call for the church, everybody was here at the church, and I said, okay, we're going to sacrifice the goat today. The first thing everybody in here would think about is barbecuing. And so maybe whipping up the marinating sauce. And somebody be figuring out how we're going to do that and how we're going to cook it. And then somebody else will be out there making the fire just right on the pit, right? We don't understand covenants and ordinances. They're going to burn the whole thing up and whatever. Our mind, our mentality is the barbecue. We're going to eat it. Run it over the pit, whatever it is. We'll eat it. We'll cook it no matter what. I mean, we wouldn't want doves, turtle doves, right? We'd want a whole mess. We don't want one sacrifice. We want a whole limit. You know, go back and try to read the ordinances and all that, how that's going to do it. You know, you have to cut his little neck and put it in the water and do all those little things. No, we just say, man, just breast it. Wrap a piece of bacon around it, stick a jalapeno in it, put it on the pit out there. It'll be good in a minute. Right? So that just goes to show you, if you think that you might could do it under Old Testament laws, that just shows you how far off our mentality would be. But it says it's okay because Jesus gave us access because he took the wall down between us. That wall being the enmity or the wrath of God that was towards mankind for breaking thousands of years of his covenants and ordinances is all taken away. So there's nothing between us and the Father. Access. We have to have boldness, but we have to have access. It doesn't do any good to have boldness if you don't have access. Right? Okay. Third thing. Third thing he said was you got to have confidence. You could be bold, but not really confident. There's a difference. Right? Boldness could be a bluff. You know, so the dog that runs at you and barks and growls and you go, ah, and then the dog runs off. It's boldness, but no confidence. Right? He says, you got to have confidence. Now go to 1 John chapter 5. It's one of my favorite scriptures, verse 14. This is one that you need to commit to memory. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Wow. I mean, here's John making this statement. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, everybody say anything. Now what does anything limit? There's no limits on anything, is there? Just like there's no limit on forever. There's no limit on anything. If we ask anything according to His will, now there's a stipulation. It's got to be according to His will. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have those petitions that we've asked of Him. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Right? That if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. Listen, this key, you got to realize, gives you an audience with a king. When you walk in prayer like this, and you have boldness, and you realize you have access, you're walking in what Jesus bought for us, you put the key in the hole, then what does it do? We get confidence. Now, I'll tell you something. When you get to the place in life where you have confidence in prayer, confidence in what you're doing, confidence in talking to God, confidence that God hears you. I'm talking confidence that God hears you. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You're starting to walk in some power now. You're starting to walk in a place of victory. Romans chapter 4, last scripture, verse 20. He's talking about Abraham. He said he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. There's all these things in the world that swirl around that want to take that confidence from you. There's all these things that want to come in there, the doubts and fears and worries and this problem and that problem and whatever, that want to come into the effect that say, you know, it's not going to go good. But when we come into a place of confidence, say, no, wait a minute. If you know that what you're doing is according to the will of God, then that gives you such confidence, such boldness, such access by the blood of Jesus that you don't have much to worry about. Because your confidence is that what He has said, He's able to perform it. Like, you know, I tell you, it's so, especially right now, you know, tonight the presidential debates are going on and, you know, I'll be honest with you. In my mind, I can picture things that I would like to see things go a certain way. But I want you to know something. No matter what, this may be a bad term, and maybe I shouldn't say it in church, but come hell or high water, man, God's going to take care of me. It don't make any difference what. If I got to walk through fire, I'll walk through fire. I'll come out on the other end, I ain't going to smell like smoke. I'm not going to get my feet burned either. Am I going to enjoy it? No, I'm going to gripe about it the whole way. Because I can see there's a better way. A way of more comfort, a way of, you know, an easier way. But, I mean, if I got to believe God to turn rocks into bread, then to eat, then so be it. You know? Whatever it takes. You know what I mean? Whatever it takes. You think He couldn't? You know, I don't know why up here in Utopia you don't have much of it. When I was growing up down in Saturday, we had those old gourd vines. I don't know. I don't see them much up here anymore. I don't know. We all killed them out or what. But, you know, those old green gourd vines, do they have a name? A gourd vine. Okay. I'm just smart aleck. You Yeah, we had them all down there. Everywhere. Man, they're the greatest things to throw as a kid. Man, you throw those things and then dry them and hollow them all out, pour them full of gunpowder and put a fuse on them. You can't imagine what can happen. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Anyway, the Bible says that you know, that the prophets were all sitting around eating at the table, and somebody went out and picked the gourd vine that was poisoned, put it in the pot. And Elisha just threw some salt in it and said, it's okay to eat now. Didn't kill anybody. All I'm saying is whatever miracles have to take place, miracles can take place if we'll get into the place of prayer and faith and confidence in God. If we stay wondering or worrying or walking in fear and this and that and the other and going, oh, well, I want to tell you something, then it steals your confidence. And then if you don't have any confidence, you're not going to pray. And then if it, you know, whatever it is, and there's attack from all sides, believe me. During your day, there's an attack from all sides coming at you religiously or coming at you this way or that way or whatever to just get to the one thing, you to quit believing God. Amen? So don't do it, church. Take boldness and access and confidence as keys to your prayer life. Walk in victory. Amen? Look at the person and say, man, my key's going to start my truck. Amen? Well, ushers, help me. Let's take up an offering tonight. Glory to God in the highest. Which one, the bad one? Combing the Word of God? Yeah. Ladies' lunch tomorrow? If you're going, let her know. Are you eating? Fiddlesticks. Cool. All right, Shannon, we're off. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I just praise that we're blessed people. Lord, we are so blessed. We're so blessed for just to come in here and just to be in your presence, Lord, but then for you to be a financier. Lord, you to take what's ours and then mix it all together and then always find a way that we're always blessed and we always walk in victory. That God, you always perform miracles left and right. So, Lord, we thank you for it. And we praise you for it. Now, just bless them tonight. Bless their business. Bless their life. Bless their finances. Bless their investments. Bless everything that they've got, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Got some good news at the orphanage. We got 4 new kids today or yesterday. So we're having to do some major rearranging as quickly as we can to shift some people around to get all the kids in the house, in a house. So praise God. 4 more little kids that won't be tormented on the street.